Diabetes Insights, Breakthroughs and Innovators. The EASD TV podcast from the annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes.
Hello, welcome to EASD TV. Now, one of the great joys on EASD TV is talking to the winners of the prize lectures. And I'm delighted to have with us in the studio the great Julian Zerath, who has won, or has been awarded, I think I should say, the EASD Novo Nordisk Diabetes Prize for Excellence. Have I got the...
Novo Nordisk Foundation and EASD have a collaboration and have awarded that prize. And I'm really honored to be the recipient this year.
Well, yes, who better? Who better is what I say. Now, Julian, your work has been known for many years and your main focus is exercise and diabetes. What are you covering in your lecture?
So I'm going to talk a little bit about how I got into the field and some of the questions that we were first interested in. And that's, how does insulin work to promote glucose uptake and how exercise can be a countermeasure to improve glucose metabolism in people living with diabetes?
And of course, I have to ask immediately, how did you get into it?
Well, you know, I started, like many people in the field, reading the literature and getting inspired by my mentors. And one of the persons I worked with was John Halazi, and he had been working about this question. And I also read a lot about the Scandinavian researchers who are working on exercise physiology. And so I started to think that maybe exercise could be one way to prevent some of the insulin resistance we see that occurs with type 2 diabetes. So that's how I got into it. My background is an exercise physiologist studying, exercise training and coaching athletes. But I was interested in this health promoting benefit of exercise.
And it's how you also found yourself living in Sweden.
Exactly.
And also working in Denmark.
Exactly. So you're right. So when I was thinking about PhD programs, I was very familiar with the Scandinavian researchers, the Swedes, the Danes, that had been working on exercise physiology and the great work of the clinical physiologists trying to study in vivo metabolism and diabetes. So I went to the Karolinska Institutet, and eventually I found myself at the University of Copenhagen as well.
So what were the mysteries of the time?
When I started, we knew there was an insulin receptor, and then there were some signals, and then glucose metabolism occurred. And throughout the course of my career, we've been able to map out some of the signaling cascades that instruct the cell to move glucose transporters to the cell surface to control blood sugar. And we've also been able to show that even in individuals with severe insulin resistance, exercise can acutely move this glucose transporter protein to the cell surface and lower blood sugar in people with diabetes.
Where did your research go next?
Well, the next thing we were looking at was how the influences of environment can affect the way in which genes are turned on or turned off in cells. And so we've looked at how epigenomic marks, so chemical marking on DNA, can modify the way gene activity is governed. And we've been able to show that there's more chemical marks on DNA of particular genes in people with diabetes, and that's associated with a reduction in machinery that controls glucose and lipid metabolism, and that exercise can remove some of these marks and unlock these keys to promote an improvement in glucose metabolism.
So this is basic research that has a real practical impact.
Yeah, I've really, because my background was in as a pedagogue, as a teacher. So I've always been interested in questions that are of close to relevance for people's lives. And so we're studying molecules and cells and organs and different animal models, but we're really also doing a lot of clinical translational research. And I find that very exciting.
And tell me about time of day of exercise, because that's been another area of focus for you.
Yeah, I'm really interested in rhythms in metabolism and diurnal rhythms and how our rhythms in metabolism fluctuate throughout the day and how what we do, what we eat, physical activity can act to reset some rhythms. We have evidence that some of the metabolic rhythms are dampened in muscle from people with diabetes, and we're trying to utilize exercise to reset those rhythms and improve metabolism.
This may be a foolish question. Forgive me if it is, but Have you looked at those supreme athletes? You know, we're just seeing the Paris Olympics, those supreme athletes who also happen to have diabetes. I mean, I think in particular, although he wasn't at this Games, of Sir Steve Redgrave, who's 6 times gold medalist, who had type 1 diabetes.
So I have not myself studied athletes who live with diabetes, but you know, that should be no limit, right, to do these extraordinary things that Olympians are doing. But we have studied exercise in people with type 1 diabetes, and regular exercise improves insulin sensitivity. It lowers the insulin requirement for people with type 1 diabetes and improves overall glucose metabolism. We've been trying to understand what makes some of these elite athletes really special. I mean, why do they excel at endurance events or strength events? And we've been trying to unravel some of the molecular machinery. Why do their muscles help them to do fast work or endurance? We've been wrestling with those kinds of questions.
What are the big questions that remain unanswered?
I think one of the biggest mysteries in the field today is, what is the machinery that accounts for the improved insulin sensitivity with exercise? We know that insulin and exercise signal to instruct cells to perform metabolism. But we actually don't know which molecules exercise and insulin synergize upon. So we're using proteomics and phosphoproteomics to untangle that and connect the dots. I think that is one of the biggest mysteries, and that's what this grant is going to help me try to solve.
And what else have you seen, or what else are you presenting that our viewers might be interested in particularly?
Well, I think one of the things that struck us is one of the fellows in my lab, Nicolas Pilon, has done a survey of oxygen consumption, VO2 max, across populations over the last 30 decades. And oxygen consumption is our ability to perform high-intensity work. He has been able to show that this measure of fitness has declined substantially throughout the world in men and women, which is a cause for concern, you know, because reduced VO2 max is associated with many, many disorders or diseases, non-communicable diseases, not just diabetes, but, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia, certain forms of cancer. So the call to action would be, how do we actually get societies to move more, stay fit, and keep this fitness level higher throughout the lifespan?
So is the reduction of VO2 max simply a measure of us becoming more sedentary societies?
Essentially, yes. You know, and it seems, though, gender equity has mitigated some of those declines. So the decline is there in males and females, but the decline is less severe in women because of we have more gender equity. And we're able to go out and do exercise and move around in the world in ways that perhaps some societies don't allow women to do.
That's fascinating. I mean, when you have Julian here, you always find out something that is new and fascinating. And you said this: there's an award of funds for this, and this will allow you to do this work. Where do you see this work going in the future?
Well, I'm really fascinated with trying to get molecular fingerprints of how muscle responds to different interventions. So how does muscle respond to the hormone insulin to improve glucose metabolism? How does muscle respond to exercise, for example? And so we're doing larger studies with deep phenotyping. So rather than studying a handful of individuals, we're studying hundreds of people, where we can collect a lot of information about the physiology of individuals. And we're trying to have a more precision approach to understanding the occurrence of insulin resistance and how exercise mitigates this. And we're looking at an unbiased approach using proteomics and metabolomics to get this landscape of the molecular machinery in muscle cells and how that is based on your individual phenotype.
And that mirrors the approach that we're now seeing across, for instance, type 2 diabetes, of seeing type 2 not as one disease, but as all these myriad subtypes.
Exactly, and not one size fits all. And that, to me, is the mystery we want to unlock. You know, could we have personalized prescriptions for diet interventions or exercise interventions or therapies as well, pharmacological therapies? Can we dial in the right treatments for people to achieve the most optimal outcome? I think that's exciting looking forward.
It is indeed very exciting. Julian Zimmer, thank you so much. And there'll be more on ESD TV very soon.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. We hope you enjoyed today's insights. If you did, go ahead and hit subscribe and you'll always stay up to date with the latest in diabetes research and discoveries. And if you'd like to dive deeper, you can find plenty more information at easd.org.